Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Monday. More importantly, it is legal tampering season, kicking off at noon earlier this afternoon. Packers pretty quiet at first. Lots of supposed targets coming off the board until Brian Gutekunst strikes with the signing of Aaron Banks, and then hard upon that, right before we went live here, Packers have swooped in and landed Nate Hobbs, the cornerback from the Raiders, essentially a pretty stalwart slot cornerback who will be interesting to see how they put him in the mix. But the Banks signing, very apparently, direct reaction to, but you have to think watching the offensive line fall apart after Elgton Jenkins got hurt in that playoff game, rolling through a number of different guys there at the guard position and not having even a semblance of consistent performance there. Ryan Gutekunst saw an opportunity to kind of solidify things there. And I know initially reporting from Tom Silverstein indicated that a plan was forming to have Elgton Jenkins slide into center and Banks take over at left guard. But literally right before I went live, Spoon tweeted out that he may have gotten that incorrect, or his source may have jumped the gun a little bit there. The Packers have options there, sounding like they have a different plan than what Tom initially wrote. So fascinating to track that throughout the offseason program as far as where guys are lining up. But the Banks signing in particular makes a lot of sense as far as going to the hardware store before you go to the toy store, as Daniel Jeremiah said on a call earlier this year. Packers have to be able to operate up front on offense. You saw how things somewhat kind of fell apart when their offensive line was not up to snuff. It's all well and good to talk about, oh, they can draft guys on day three, and they have drafted plenty of them, and a few of them have worked out, but more often than not, you see what you saw against the Eagles. Now, the Eagles are a very particular case, obviously. Like I said earlier, this is not a direct reaction to that one game, but certainly that is part of the complete picture where you talk about the offensive line needing to be able to operate at a certain level, and it certainly wasn't as soon as injury struck. Going to be fascinating to see what the plan is with Jordan Morgan. As I've talked about a couple of times here, I suspect they will let him compete at left tackle. He was obviously drafted as a tackle and then kind of shoehorned into guard last summer. We'll see if Walker locks that down or if Morgan is given a chance to win that job throughout this offseason or into the summer. But two signings, especially with the Hobbs thing, I've only seen a little bit of him. Obviously, I know who the player is, but I'm not entirely familiar with his down-by-down game. But I will say, I do know he has excelled in the slot during his time in the NFL. And the one thing that I think people automatically jump to, well, what does that mean for, I mean, we know Keyshawn Nixon is the plan is for him to continue to keep playing outside. But oftentimes last year, you saw Javon Bullard drop down into that slot position and Evan Williams take over the safety spot opposite Xavier McKinney. I don't think this automatically means Bullard's out as your nickel and or slot guy, but I do think this gives you more talent in that room at a position where teams could take advantage at times, not only of Bullard, but anybody the Packers threw out there. Especially in coverage. I think Bullard, obviously, his physical presence down to the line of scrimmage is very welcome. But Hobbs is a guy I think you can set there dependent on your opponent, what they like to do from the slot, two-way goes and things of that nature. Some of the more twitchy receivers and or backs, tight ends, what have you, that operate out of the interior of a offensive set. This gives you a few more options as opposed to, and this is the other thing, when you talk about just wanting to raise the talent floor in the cornerback room, giving Halfley more opportunities to kind of mix and match guys and also not have a domino effect when there is one injury and you saw how things really cascaded in the secondary. Well, this allows them a little bit of leeway in that regard and things don't have to automatically fall apart just because you have an injury and you've got to move guys. Now suddenly everyone's playing maybe a different position, something they haven't practiced all week. I think Hobbs gives you some insurance there and probably has an opportunity to be one of your starters de facto when you're in nickel, which is 75% of the time. Lot to play out yet. Obviously, this is just a fresh signing. Literally minutes ago, it was reported. But I do like the idea of having multiple kind of palettes to draw from in the secondary, dependent on who your opponent is. Enough of my rambling. Hope you all are well. Good to see everybody mixing it up already here in the chat. Appreciate all of you coming out. Reminder for anyone who didn't see earlier here on the channel when I put it up, Andy Herman and I will be having a live Let's Talk Football tonight at 8 Eastern, 7 Central, right here on the YouTube channel. Come on back and get my thoughts, Andy's thoughts, and all any questions you might have about the Packers, free agency, Green Bay in general, the draft, what have you. We're going to be talking all things green and gold, 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern tonight, right here on the YouTube channel. Make sure you check it out. All right, folks, let's get to your thoughts, questions, what have you. Michael, starting us off. Appreciate your super chat, man. So we got a guard, but no edge. Does Goody realize we need to also get to the other quarterback in addition to protecting ours? Michael, I'm sure he is aware. I will remind you that it has been legal tampering period for now all of, what, 4 hours? Maybe 5 hours, sorry. Patience is all I can preach here. Yes, there have been some edge players who have signed and or utilized elsewhere, but that doesn't mean the Packers are out on the field. Long way to go. And I do think the Packers will let the market settle and let things come to them. And who knows, man, maybe as we're talking, something breaks news-wise or they make a trade. It's a long way to go. Talent acquisition is a 365-day-a-year business. Just because it doesn't happen in a four-hour window doesn't mean he's punting on something. Tyler, how are you, man? Unpopular opinion, but I wouldn't mind Amari Cooper if he's cheap. I wouldn't put it outside the total realm of possibility, but I'd be surprised. To quote one of my Spotify commenters' favorite phrases, I find that unlikely. Let's put it that way. But never say never. I understand the attraction of having a guy who's got some pelts on the wall, been in the league for a long time. But when it comes to the Packers, you know how they operate, and been in the league a long time is usually their kryptonite. But again, never say never. Nick D, how are you, man? Glad to see Packers Twitter keeping their cool as usual today. Trusting Goot, go Pack, go. Nick, that's a refreshing viewpoint. Look, I understand when you spend a month plus guessing about who they might target and guys that might be available or on their list, you know, and then you see all those names come off the board, so to speak, in less than 24 hours. Hell, most of them went off the board before the start of the tampering period. So I get the frustration from Packers fans. I don't dismiss it. I understand it. But I do try to remind people each and every year, like, they're MO traditionally is not to strike out hardcore right on day one. Now, I know they made a bunch of headlines last year. Obviously, that was a bit out of the norm, and they've made a few signings today. But these big swing for the fences kind of moments rarely happen in day one of free agency in Green Bay. That is just more often than not how they're going to operate. Quinn, on the exact opposite side of the spectrum. Let's get more aggressive, BG, please. Quinn, just remember, don't mistake activity for achievement. There's a long way to go. It is a very meticulous process when it comes to not just the scouting, but the contracts and how they fit in and where they project these players to be headed in their careers, how they fit within your program, in your scheme, who their teammates are going to be, things of that nature. I know we all sit here and we know the names and we see the big plays and we want that and we want this. These guys, they have a very particular process and they know for the most part what they're doing. Obviously, they're not infallible. But I would just urge patience, and aggressiveness can be relative. Let's just put it that way. Dustin, how are you, man? More likely to start this year, Jair or BJ Raji? You mean for the Packers? Dustin, I did see the Rob Demoski report that Jair, as of now, is still a member of the Packers. I don't find that surprising, though I did think there was a chance they would release him prior to the start of the new league year to allow him to hit the market. But there really is no pressure point when it comes to the contract. There's no bonus due. So perhaps they hang on to him in the hopes of trading him prior to the draft. I think the draft is the first real pressure point in the offseason. I still will be very surprised if he is a member of the Green Bay Packers in 2025. But we'll see. She said, Joey, what's going on, man? You think they may look to trade Rashid Walker, final year of the contract, young starting caliber tackle, could get a good amount for him, put Morgan at left tackle. Joey, I don't think that's something they're going to set out to do like prior to training camp. I do think they'll have a competition in camp. Now, this is just guesswork. I could end this live stream right now and we see a headline, Walker traded to the Seahawks or whatever. I don't think he's untouchable. That's for certain. To your point, young player going into the last year of his deal, seventh round pick who is clearly good enough to start in the NFL. Some team would most likely flip something for that, right? Then the idea obviously would be Jordan Morgan going over to left tackle where you drafted him to be. I do think though, because of the dearth of talent around the league and the fact that you did see, as we just talked about at the start here, this offensive line really struggle against the Eagles in that playoff game, kind of struggled down the stretch there throughout the end of the season, the last kind of two or three games. I don't think throwing talent away is a kind of way forward there. It is so precious, offensive line talent, let alone offensive line performance. I'd be surprised if they just threw it away willy-nilly. However, that said, it just takes one GM to think, okay, well, that's my kind of solve at left tackle, and they flip the Packers a pick that they just can't say no to. I'm not holding my breath in that regard, but it wouldn't shock me if they did pull the trigger there. But I would suspect they would probably take Morgan to training camp, let him compete, and if he loses out on that job at left tackle, maybe they look to flip him then. Maybe then they get active in that regard. But we got a long way to go when it comes to that. Brandy, how are you? Good to see you. Free agency moves 2 years in a row. Okay, I guess we are here now. I'm glad you look at it that way because they have made two signings today, right? Much like they made two signings last year on day one. Now, obviously, they're not, the names aren't as big. The positions probably aren't as sexy, but they are active, much like Brian was back in 2019 on day one when he signed four guys. He signed two guys last year on day one. Now, we've got two signings today. But the issue, as always, Brandy, you know this, is it's not names anybody was expecting or talked about a lot heading into the start of free agency. That doesn't mean they are not good additions. That doesn't mean that they're not going to be able to contribute, which is what we've talked a lot about as far as immediate contributions. Whoever they're bringing in, you want them to be able to help you continue to improve and improve your program and get you over the hump, especially in the division, let alone in the conference. I think these two additions should help in that regard. And that is the idea. Austin, how are you? Hey, Nags, what do you think of Banks and Hobbs? Banks is an absolute unit, only giving up two sacks and 1,200 plus snaps. Hobbs can help in the slot, but my only concern is his tackling. Yeah, I mean, no player is perfect, right? And there's a reason they're hitting free agency. When you talk about Banks, you're right on the numbers, but he's also coming off a bit of a down year in San Francisco for his kind of tenure in the NFL so far. Last season was probably his kind of low point, but his 2023 tape is really good. So obviously the Packers are expecting to get a bounce back performance in that regard. And as far as Hobbs goes, yeah, his tackling is up and down, but that is a pretty emblematic of where things stand with cornerbacks across the league. And two, you know, if he was a lights out coverage guy, could blitz from the slot and get quarterbacks on the ground with regularity and never missed a tackle, the Raiders wouldn't be letting him walk. I mean, there's a reason guys become free agents. You're always kind of weighing that balance, right? As far as what is the upside? Tell me what he can do, not what he can't do. And how do we minimize asking him to do things that he's not the strongest at? Now, of course, he's going to have to tackle. He's going to be on an NFL football field. But hopefully he's breaking up passes more than he's tackling. Maybe as a kind of a rotational nickel slash dime who is able to get you in and out of certain third and long situations that have bedeviled the Packers in years past. Patrick, thanks for the super chat. I missed with so many of my friends today telling them that the Vikings signed Rodgers. Then I elaborated that was the cornerback from the Eagles. Keep up the good work, Patrick. You know, not all heroes wear capes. I salute you. In fact, cheers, brother. That's to you. That's yeoman's work right there. Big Al, how you doing, man? Hey, Nags, what do you think the Nate Hobbs signing? And what's the holdup with Jair? Maybe the Packers should keep him at this point. I addressed the Jair thing earlier. I'd be surprised still. They have no pressure point in the contract, so there's no reason to let him go anytime soon. I suspect they're probably still trying to work on a trade, but we'll see what the draft entails, because the draft, I do think, is kind of the first real deadline or pressure point, as it were. As far as Nate Hobbs, I've talked a lot about it already. I do think he's going to help them in two ways. One, raise the floor when it comes to the talent level at that position, and B, give them options in the slot. And also, he's a little bit of a bigger guy, although it is kind of interesting. I see his measurements when he was drafted are like 5'11 and a half, and now he's listed as 6'1. That's a dude who's grown a few inches in the last couple of years. But yeah, 6'1, 195, last I saw. That's a decent addition for a team that has erred a bit on the smaller side at corner the last few years. Ed, how are you, man? Well, I'm just not into the draft. Time will tell. I do enjoy listening to you talk about it. Might feel differently if the Packers have not proven that they know what they're doing. Well, that's very nice of you, Ed. We'll have another edition of the Draft Industrial Complex later this week. Tyler and I will go over his big board and possible Packers fits in that regard. Ryan Willie, how are you, man? After 7 or 8 years doing the same thing, I'd rather be in cap hell for going for a Super Bowl than always having the youngest roster. They're not going to have the youngest roster this year. Today pretty much put them ahead of that direction. And as far as rather going for a Super Bowl than always having the youngest roster, so you'd rather be the Saints? Hey, man, the Saints are looking for fans, always. You are welcome to it. I'll stay over here being a Packers fan. That's just me. Braden, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Two words, Matthew Golden. Who am I kidding? We're drafting defense in round one. Yeah, if you're going to get in on Golden, you probably have to spend a first-round pick on him at this point. And I'll be surprised two things. I'll be surprised if he makes it to 23, especially given who's picking in front of the Packers. It's a murderer's row of teams that need wide receiver help. And two, I mean, we know, even if he's sitting there, they're not going to take him. They're going to wait to round two and try and get Jaden Higgins, even though even now I think Higgins is starting to probably creep up, maybe past lower second round projections, where that's where the Packers reside at the moment. So maybe they have to make a trade up. I would blush. Seth, how are you, man? Breaking: Doge just seized Ball/Goots accounts to limit spending. Get it? That's a topical joke. Kind of. Nick, how are you? Please don't forget to have the Cheesehead crew post the McCarthy free agency quote. It's my second favorite Packers quote, only to "no more rocket balls." Nick, I think you're referring to the trade quote. If I know the quote you're talking about, when he asks, is that tomorrow? I thought that was next week. That exchange with Bill Huber was in response to the trade deadline, if that's the quote you're talking about, which I suspect it is. Jason, how are you? Does the signing of Banks officially make us a power running team? I don't know about officially, but he certainly likes to move people and can get downhill and move humans. And I like it. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to see a repeat of last year as far as much power and kind of angle blocking and counter that we saw throughout 2024, but certainly would suggest that they want to continue to pound the rock, right? And that is something where he is going to excel. And maybe they get back to running a little bit more duo, which we saw 2 years ago. But love the idea of this guy moving humans out of the way for Josh Jacobs. Jocelyn, how are you? Heard anything on Quay? A lot of off-ball linebackers have gotten paid. Wonder if he'll be priced out. Also, Will Fuller, Chase Claypool, DK Metcalf? Yes, I can't believe we've gone this long without a DK question or comment. I mean, Steelers clearly wanted to add wide receiver help after trying to get Ayuk last year. Now they make a big play for Metcalf. The Packers reportedly didn't even make a call, which tells you where their head's at as far as we're not going to be sending draft capital and paying a huge extension for a guy who's on the back nine of his career, although he would certainly help from a football standpoint. As far as Quay, I haven't heard anything, and I hear what you're saying about the market, right? I'll be surprised if they don't extend him at some point with a kind of mid-level deal, probably 2, maybe 3 years. That is somewhat team-friendly, but kind of solidifies him for the next kind of stretch here between the next couple seasons. Now it takes two to tango, and maybe Walker is hell bent on getting to the market to try and get the numbers you're talking about. But I think he needs a absolute dynamite 2025 to make that happen. And if you're a player having some security put in front of you, oftentimes guys will take that because, you know, the Packers aren't going to be utilizing the fifth round or the fifth year option on his contract. He is going to have to play out this last year. All it takes is one play, you know, one twist of the ankle, one injury, and then you're done and you've completely ruined your opportunity to go get that bag. So I do think the Packers will dangle something in front of him in that regard. And I would suspect he'll sign it and hopefully ball out for a couple of years and then look to get the big bag, one big bag, prior to the second half of his career. Andrew, how are you, man? We got outbid on DK. I would have paid 23 for 17, but be thankful I'm not GM. I'm disappointed on the report that we didn't make a call on either, though. But are you surprised? I understand being disappointed. Trust me, I do. But are you surprised? You can't really be. If you know and follow the Green Bay Packers for any length of time, I mean, like you said, you should all be very excited that I'm not the GM because I would make that trade and deal in a heartbeat, and I would also drive the Packers into the ground. Ryan Willie would love my team because I would completely kick the can and drive us into the ditch and like completely ruin any chance we had at hitting, you know, contenderhood for the foreseeable future, at least for a decade, which is, I know, what a lot of people online want to have happen. So I think the Packers are wise to be prudent, especially at that position with that amount of capital. Big Al, thanks again, man. When it comes to the wide receiver position, Goot wasn't in talks for Davante Adams and DK Metcalf. Maybe Goot is counting on his wide receivers because they're a talented group of guys. I think you're spot on, Al. I think he is very much counting on the growth and development, continued development of his young players. Now, I think he'll add in the draft. I think you've got two guys in particular in Watson and Dobbs who are going into the final years of their deals. You've got to continue to add talent to the room. But I'll be very surprised if he, you know, doesn't lean on the development of his young players. Now, that doesn't mean that they're done and they won't look at outside options. Still plenty available and out there, but I think that will be the focus. That would be my guess. Josh, thanks for the super chat, man. With these signings, what are their top draft needs by position? I still think edge is number one. Don't doubt for a moment this helps kind of allow them to breathe a little bit when it comes to corner, although I also think they'll continue to look there in the draft because it is a premium position and you want good, young, cheap labor there, especially perimeter guys, because Hobbs clearly is very much a slot merchant, so to speak. But yeah, to me, edge is number one. That's where they still have to add talent and or at least raise the floor of that room, the talent floor. Get more talent in that room. Got to do it. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Like I said earlier, make sure you join Andy Herman and myself tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, right here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. Let's talk football live. Andy and I will go over everything that the Packers did and didn't do over the course of the last, 72 hours. And of course, we'll be taking all of your free agency questions. So I'll see you there. Thanks so much, everybody. Please hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.